Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many have received anything from God in your life? Anybody? Anybody have answered prayers? Anybody, you know, sense the presence of God? It's so good. It's so good. If you'll turn to Matthew chapter 10, we're going to talk about what we've received a little bit. What we've received, but not in the context of, you know, gimme, 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 me and Jimmy. We want ours and no, you know, Lord bless us and no more, right? Us four, no more. We want to look beyond that because I believe that God's got something for us, but anything that God's got for us, He wants us to pass it on. Amen? Amen? And we've got something. I said, we've got something. I've got something. You've got something. Who, me? I'm not a preacher. I'm not. You've got something. I said, you've got something. Right? And let's go, we'll just start in verse 1. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, it says, "And when he called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits, to cast them out, to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now the names of the 12 of the apostles were these: first Simon, who is called Peter, Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, Labius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go in the way of the Gentiles. Do not go in to enter the city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Freely you have received, freely give." So God obviously had done something in their lives. Amen? But Jesus said, what you've received, you need to give out. He said, I'm giving you power to do these things, but if you just hold them onto yourself, then what good is it? What good is it? Right? And it's kind of like, I believe that we're storing in ourselves the very gifts that God has given to us, and He wants us to let them out. But we can't be like the hoarders that want to just hold it onto it for the rainy day. We've got to be those that trust God for the rainy day and hand out what we have right now. I just heard, this is a silly story, but I just heard it. But just think about this for just a minute. This guy was in Costco up in Squim, I think it was. It was a Costco in Squim. And he had he took the last five of those toilet paper packs, you know, that's got thousands of rolls of toilet paper. He had five of them in his cart. And a guy said, man, you don't need all those. And they were all gone. He said, would you give me one? The guy punched him in the mouth over toilet paper. Freely you've received, freely give, right? I mean, the guy was hoarding toilet paper for what? I mean, for what? It's because the fear of not having kept him to where he had to possess and hold on to hoard rather than to give it away. If he really would have thought that next week Costco would have restocked and they'd have had plenty more, right? Then he probably wouldn't have been as concerned with holding on to those five packs of jumbo, right? And yet, I believe some of us hoard even the things that God has given to us in such a way that we're going, Lord, I can't give it away because if I give it away, I'm not going to have it. This is not just material things, right? But it's everything that God's entrusted to us. Now, material things have a place, and you know, all of us are like, well, God, if I give this away, then where am I going to get that? And You know, we have to listen to the voice of God. But these disciples are with Jesus, and Jesus said to them, here's what you're going to do. You're going to go out, and we're going to look at this in Luke also. You're going to go out, and this is what you're going to do. But he said, freely you've received, freely give. You sometimes have to know what you've received before you can give it away. But once you know that you've received it, give it out. Why? Because here's the cool thing with God, is if you give it away, he'll give you more. But he won't just fill you to the point where you were. He'll expand you. Y'all remember the story of the talents. One had 10 talents, one had 5, and one had 2. And so the master went away and he said, you know, do something with these talents. And the 10 doubled his or whatever, the 5, the 2, whatever. But the one that had the 1 buried it, didn't do anything with it. And the master came back and said, where's mine? He said, well, I hid it in the ground because I knew you're a tough taskmaster. And I didn't want to lose this. And he said, you unfaithful, foolish steward. And sometimes I think God is looking at us and going, I've given you a lot. What are you doing with it? You know, and what's he given to us? What's he given to each one of us? Not just the supernatural power of God, which he has given to us, but also just, has he given us mercy? Come on, has he given anybody in here grace? Has he cut us some slack? Major, right? Major. And so if he's freely given that to us, our objective should be to freely give it away. And if you really think about that, as years ago I was dealing with unforgiveness and thinking about unforgiveness and you know, because like every one of us, we've had people that have, you know, not been nice to us or have done us wrong, or at least we perceive they've done us wrong. Probably from their perspective, they didn't think so, but they did us wrong. And so you can, you know, you hold them in your heart and you go, rrr. In fact, I just honest, I've dealt with a couple people in the last few years that it's just like, God, I need to forgive them. And I have, but yet they're, mind comes up when their mind goes just not gets in the gut, all that stuff, right? But you have to go, watch it. God, you've forgiven me. How could I not forgive them? Right? And just as Christ has forgiven you, the Bible says, you forgive one another. So freely you've received the forgiveness, freely give it out. Yeah, but what if I give it out and they do something to me? Look at, don't worry about them. What you want to do is stay in the place where God can continually give to you. Right? And this is in every area of our life. But specifically with what ministry has God put you in? And you think, well, you know, I'm not called to preach. I'm not. That has nothing to do with ministry. I mean, it does, but that's a call. But we're all called. We all have a calling on our lives. We're all in a position to serve. So rather than serving from a place of hoarding, let's begin to serve from a place of giving. Now, here's where we get in trouble. Is we expect the people that we're giving to be the ones who give back to us. And if we don't feel like they're giving back to us the same way that we're giving to them, then there's trouble to be had. And resentment can build up. And what we do is we stop the ministry that God has for us because of what people have done to us. And the enemy goes, got them. I got them. And so what I want us to do tonight is to open our hearts up to the Spirit of God. And if we've stopped the doors anywhere with our giving, and again, I'm not talking about only money, but But I'm talking about everything. God, if hatred is in my heart, I want to get rid of that. I want to offer forgiveness. I want to do those things. But look again. Look at what he said, though. He said to his disciples, he said, verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. And look what he says. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts, nor bag for your journey, nor lunch or tunics, nor sandals, nor staff, for a worker is worthy of his food. Now, whatever town or you enter, inquire in it who is worthy, and stay there till you go out. And when you go out, and when you go into a household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it's not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart from that house, shake off the dust of your feet. For surely I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore be wise as serpent, as harmless as dove. But beware of men, lest they deliver you up to the councils and scourge you in the synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my name's sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they, listen to this, but when they deliver you, do not worry about how you should speak, for it will be given to you in that self same hour what you should speak. In other words, watch this. Even at the place where things don't seem to be going right, even when it seems like we're being used by what for what God has called us to do, and think, don't get hung up in that. Trust that God is with you and that God's going to give you the very things that you need to go forward. Does that make sense? God wants to use you. God wants to use you to bring somebody else the very blessings that He's given to you. What's the biggest blessing that you've ever received? His name is Jesus. Jesus, sad hearts weep no more. Right? Jesus, right? The biggest blessing that we've received is that we're now born again. We're children of God. We've inherited God's name. Is that true? So why aren't we giving it freely away? Most of the time we're not giving it freely away because we tried that once. And it didn't go so well. They didn't like what we said, or they didn't get born again. Or they laughed at me, or they said, man, that guy's become a Jesus freak. Right? Any of those things, and we've got, oh, that's over. I'm done with doing that. See, here's the reality, is what we're supposed to do at that point is go, well, that's between you and God now. I'm going to dust my feet off, and I'm going to go to the next person. And I'm going to go to the next person. And I'm going to go, where are these people? Where are the people that you are supposed to talk to? They're everywhere you go. They're everywhere you go. And God will use you if you're open to give what God has given to you. Think about this. You have their answer. You have the very thing that will keep them out of hell. You do. I do. But yet, we're hoarding it rather than giving it away. You ever think about that? It's just, wait a minute. Let me tell you a story and how this affects me. Years ago, my aunt was very sick, and she was in the hospital, and I'd seen her like the week before, but it was a Thursday night, and I felt, I need to go up there, but I'd worked all day. You know how it goes. You're just tired. It's 4:00. I'm going to go up after work. 4:00 came, got off work, got home. I think I'll go. Wait, she's coming home on Saturday. I'll go up on Saturday, Lord, and I'll witness to her on Saturday. I'll tell her how much you love her on Saturday. Friday morning came, I got the call. She passed away that morning. See, I didn't go when I was prompted to go, so I couldn't give away what I had because I wasn't listening and I didn't follow the leading of the Spirit of God. Now, I'm not saying that she didn't receive what God had for her, because God could send other people, but the reality is that God wants to send each one of us into the field that He's placed us in. But we've got to come to an understanding that God has given me something, and I need to freely give that away. Now watch this. How many have ever felt or experienced the love of God in your life? I mean, you know it. And oftentimes, that comes through an experience with somebody else. I mean, you know, it can be that, you know, you're just in God's presence, or you're worshiping God or whatever, and you just feel the love of God. But most of the time, it comes because God uses somebody else. And at the end of Him using that somebody else, they said, God loves you. And you go, wow, really? Really, He does? Yeah, because that's how God uses the pipeline. Man, that's what I want. Think about this scenario. There's a whole group of people, and they're trying to feed people that are in need. And there's a famine in the land. There's people just trying to feed. And so you got the supplies off in the background, and then you've got the frontline people that are trying to, you know, make the soup, give out the bread, produce the rice, do whatever. And so they're working, and they're working, and they're working, and they have less and less and less supplies. But there's more and more people coming, and pretty soon, instead of a bowl full of beans, there's one or two beans that have been boiled to death, and there's just broth that's being given out. And so you get past that initial state, and there's people that have gone away, have given them a little bit, but they didn't get their supply. And then you find out that there was a guy back there who was in the supply line that had a hoard of beans and supplies back here, but he said, I didn't want to give them out too quickly. Wait a minute. We could have fed all of those people, but you hoarded what you had? They're starving today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Right? I would have been a little upset with that guy, right? I'd have wrung his neck, right? I mean, because I saw the faces, right? I was on the front line. I saw the faces of those little children who went away with a little bit, but they weren't full. And yet there was the supply right behind the fence that they could have went away full. I think that's sometimes us. It's like, God, You filled me with Your Spirit. You filled me with Your love. Use me, God, to supply their need. Come on. Who's that for? Well, that's for the pastor, right? He's the one that gets paid to do this stuff, right? No, it's for all of us. And it's not just, watch this, it's not just about in church. In fact, Jesus didn't say, go to the synagogues, go to the church and do this. You know what He said? He said, go to the streets and do this. Go to people's houses and do this. What does this mean? Wherever you are, wherever you go. Right? I used to be in this habit, and I've gotten back into the habit that I'm beginning to tell people at the end. I mean, it's so simple. It seems so simple, and why don't we do it? You know, it's like, God bless you at the end of a sentence, right? At the end of a conversation. Listen, we ought to take the time when a telemarketer calls us or somebody comes and gives us a pitch, at least to say, you know, I've listened to you for a couple of minutes. Listen to me for five. You know, give me 30 seconds and I'm going to tell you, Jesus loves you. I'm telling you, this call wasn't an accident, but God put you in my life because He wants you to know that Jesus died for your sins. What have you got to lose? Nothing. Nothing. Okay, you have to love when it hurts. You have to give away what you have when it feels like you don't have enough. Why? Because that's the very part where God will give out more to you. Because you're not the source. You're just the supply chain. God's the source. Does this make sense to anybody? We've got to come to the place where we're trusting God. Go to Luke chapter 10. It's the same story, but a little bit different. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Mary, it's so good to have you, but I read your Facebook page post. Where did he say? Did he say Luke 3? What was that? Luke 14? What did he say? And I'm cracking up. I'm cracking up. Now, it's the same kind of story, but look at verse 16. And he who hears you, hears me. He who rejects you, rejects me. And rejects him who sent me. See, it's not about you. It's not about you. But it's about you representing Jesus to people. Now, it's one thing, I think, to think about the people that are kind of on the outside periphery. But, you know, tonight I'm more concerned about those that are inside your circle. What am I talking about? One of the things that it doesn't haunt me because I know that God loves me and I know that I haven't been perfect, but I've tried to present the same Jesus here on Sunday morning, Wednesday night, as I do at home on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you know, whatever, right? I try to be the same guy. I try to, you know, I'm not always successful, but I think I am pretty much. But wouldn't it be a sad indictment if I freely receive from God to have this great ministry, but yet at home they grow to hate the Lord because they see the hypocrisy in me? No, Lord, I want my son, I want my daughter, I want my grandchildren, I want everybody that knows me to say, you know, he knows God, he knows Jesus, and he is a servant of Jesus. And at some point, when they hear me, they hear Jesus. Now, I'm not putting myself up as anything, but I've freely received. I've freely received the Holy Spirit. I've fully received an anointing. I've fully received the love of God. I've fully received the peace of God. I've fully received the joy of the Lord. But am I giving that out? And if I'm not, why not? So I need to come back and I have to ask myself, God, what is it? What is it in me that's causing me to not be able to do this? Now watch this. Because again, here's the story. He sends out his disciples. They've been watching Jesus do all this stuff, right? Heal the lepers. Cleanse the lepers. Heal the sick. Demons are cast out. Dead are raised. All that. They're seeing this. And now he says, now you go do the same thing. Well, first of all, they're going, uh-huh. What? Who? I kind of liked being on the side where I just watched you do it and I could go, I'm his friend, right? I'm his friend. But now he's saying, no, you do it. You do it. Now, a lot of people go, I don't think so. But there are some who would say, cool. You know, we all know kids like this. Kids who, you know, if you tell them to do something, they'll do it. Hey, that's cool. Jump off the roof. cool. Let's do it. And others would go, I ain't jumping off that roof. Are you nuts? Right? With different personalities. But if you really need them to jump off the roof, then you have to work with both one to get them to the place to jump off the roof. And some you have to coax. But watch this. He told all of his disciples, get going. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. And you can do the same thing. And then they went out and they I'm sure the first house they went to, you got any sick here? You know, you got it. And they prayed and they watched as God used them to do miraculous things. Can you just imagine the feeling? The first time you said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to rise up and walk. And the lame person jumps up and they leap for joy. And the woo, glory to God. The little child that's dead comes back to life. And demons start to cuss you out. And you say, in the name of Jesus, I bind you. You shut up and you come out of him. And it happens. Has that ever happened to you? I've experienced it. I've watched God do that. Glory to God. You mean you've seen demons come out of people? I have. Now look at verse 17. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even demons are subject to us in your name. They're subject to us in your name. I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again. I'm at my friend's house. Hadn't seen him for a while. We're over at his house, he and his wife. And bottom line was, we spent the night. They were in Vancouver. We spent the night. And so Tom had just gotten saved, and I was praying for him. And he wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit, so we prayed for him. He received his prayer language. Glory to God. And then Sue, his wife, who was filled with the Spirit, God was using in some ways, and she said, "Well, I'd like to be prayed for." And so we started praying for her, and she was in the prayer chair, as we used to call them, and sitting in the chair. We started praying for her. All of a sudden, the eyes of her head rolled to the back of her head, and a man's voice came out. I mean, cold. The room just went. What do you do? Kids, we got to go now, right? We're booking back up. No. What we did is we said, you foul spirit in the name of Jesus, you're going to have to come out. And it didn't come out right away. We had to spend some time praying over that. But she was delivered that night, right? And we found out that her mom was a witch. And there were some things hanging on, right? So now watch this. You could go, bless God, I'm the man of God. I'm going to have me a demon casting out ministry, right? But watch, because that's kind of what they were going through. Even demons are subjects. And he said to them, listen to what he said. He said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. See, the source of the power for you to be even able to cast out demons is that your name is written in heaven. Hallelujah! Glory to God! I can't cast the devil out of anybody in my flesh. I'd be like the seven sons of Sceva. Say, well, Paul, Jesus we know, Paul we know, but who are you? But it's the fact that I'm in Christ and Christ is in me that puts me in a place that I can be used by God for other people. But I need to be more aware of that. I need to be living my life as a servant to people. Right? Whether it's at home or it's outside of home. God, use me. Let me be an example. You know, it's fun to be used by God. Now again, we started out saying that freely you've received, now freely give. Didn't we say that? Didn't Jesus say that? But sometimes we haven't received, so we can't give. What do I mean? Has God forgiven you? Has God forgiven you? Then have you forgiven you? Have you forgiven you? Who are you then to argue with God? Freely He's given to you, freely receive. But when you freely receive, then you're in a position to freely give. But if you don't receive for yourself what God has given to you, then you're not in a position to give it out. And Satan's got you right where he wants you. Glory to God. I'm tired of the devil beating you up or beating me up. I have to take the promises of God and not stagger by them because I need to be fully assured and walking in them. Why? Because when I freely receive them, then I can say, here you are. But if I don't receive them for myself, then I can't have faith that God will do it for you either. Is that making sense? So it's like, okay, Lord, forgive me for my lack of faith. Forgive me, God, for some of the things that I've put up with. Right? He said, watch this. Behold, I give you authority to trample. In other words, I have the authority, but I'm passing it on to you. This was for his disciples, but is it any less true for us today? I will answer you, no. It's the same God, the same Jesus. In fact, I believe we are in a greater place where this applies to us even more than them. Why? Because they weren't born again yet because Jesus hadn't gone to the cross. He went to the cross and we're on the other side of the cross and His Spirit lives on the inside of us. We sang about it tonight. The same power that rose Jesus from the dead lives and dwells in us. Right? That same power is the power source that we can do these things. But unless we freely receive them, we'll never freely give them. So, have you received His forgiveness? Then you have to forgive yourself. Right? Because again, if God's not holding it against you, then why are you? Here's what the enemy says. Well, you know you did it. You know you did it. And you messed these people up or you did this and this happens. And you're just going to have to live with that the rest of your life. I'm not saying that there aren't consequences. But if you live in the guilt and shame and condemnation of that for the rest of your life, then you're not going to be any good to anybody. And in fact, that will bring on more oppression into your life. Because you're living under the condemnation. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? That means I am no longer under the sentence that should have been applied to my life because of something that I did or my daddy did or my daddy's daddy did or somebody, you know, that I'm no longer under that sentence that's associated with that crime. There is therefore now no more condemnation to those. Be like in the Old West. You remember in the Old West, if you were found guilty of murder, hang him by the neck. And don't wait for 2 weeks. We don't want any appeals. Tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. Right? Because you're under, the judge said, I condemn you to hang by your neck until dead. That was the condemnation that you were under. But if in the meantime somebody came and said, no, and here's why, then you'd be free from that condemnation and you wouldn't have to, you know, have your neck stretched. Jesus has freed us from the condemnation. Now, I need to hurry because I need to quit. Go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Now watch this, because I believe God wants to use us in a greater capacity than we've ever been used. I believe the world needs to know the authentic love of God. I believe that the world needs more than ever to see a demonstration of the power of God through us. But we have to freely receive it before we can freely give it. But that condemnation and the things, maybe even some things in our lives are holding us back. First of all, we have to submit ourselves to God. Look at verse 6, for sake of time. Verse 6. But He gives more grace. Therefore, He says, God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. So the first part is that you have to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. What does that mean? God, this is what I think, but what I think doesn't matter. What You think is the final authority. So watch this, and you think, well, yeah, that's true. Watch how this can come to you. Some of us are sitting under condemnation from our past, from we're less than. And God says, no, I've made you worthy. Yeah, but I don't feel worthy. I'm sorry. You have to humble yourself under the word of God there. He's called you worthy. Right? God, You've called me worthy, so therefore I'm worthy. How do you do that? You just have to keep telling yourself. You have to keep walking in the revelation of that. You have to keep ministering to yourself along those lines. Now watch this. Verse 7, therefore submit to God. What does it mean to submit to God? God, whatever You say, whatever You want, whatever You do, yes, sir. Period. 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 Now we live in a country where submission to authority is if we want to. Right? It's the craziest time I've ever been in. But even now, if you were in the military like some of you have been, when you get into that, it's yes, sir. It's not, well, Sergeant, I really like to get up and do that, but I'm kind of tired. I'd like to sleep in today. Yeah, I really don't feel like. Whew! You're in for a rude awakening, right? Because you have to submit to that authority. So right now, it's like, Lord, I'm submitting unto You right now with all of my heart. Now watch this second part, because it's something that I think some people in here, because I believe God spoke to me this afternoon. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Remember, He's already given us the authority and the power. Freely you've received, freely you have to give, but you need to be in the position where you're resisting the devil. And part of that resisting is telling yourself what God has said. I don't have a lot of time, but I just want to say this, that sometimes we want to act a certain way, and we just think it's our feelings that are trying to lead us that way. And after all, this is who I am. Like it or lump it, that's who I see. The enemy's got you. That's not who you are. Who you are is who God said you are. You're not that man or woman who's angry all the time. You're not that man or woman who's hurt all the time. You're not that man or woman who's living under the oppression of what the enemy has put over you. You are who God said you are. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. So therefore, that torment that the enemy is trying to keep you under, you have to resist it, because it's the devil who's behind it. You have to submit yourself to what God has said and resist what the enemy is saying. But here's what happens if you resist. And watch this, word resist is not just, don't do that. Right? Don't do that. Or stop it. Right? Just stop it. No, it's the kind of resistance that says, sucker. I don't think so. You come at me, I'm coming at you with a 2x4, with a bat, whatever it takes, but I'm not taking this anymore. Right? Come on. I may be stronger, and you may be stronger than I am and all of that, but I'm not quitting. I'm not stopping. Right? Until you're whooped. Come on. So resistance is, I'm in this to win this. So if the enemy is tormenting you with anything, you've got to fight against that in order to contain what God has given to you. What has He given to you? He said, by His stripes you were healed. He said He's come to heal the brokenhearted. He said that He set at liberty those that are bruised. He said, I've given you authority over everything the enemy would try to throw at you, but you've got to be the one to stand up in the midst of your fight and say, I don't think so. Why? Because when you get authority over that, then you'll be able to go to somebody else and say, wait a minute, you don't have to live like that. I can tell you, I can show you. By the power of God and what God's done in me, I freely receive this. I've walked this out. And so now I'm going to freely give you the same opportunity to be free for Jesus. Come on, I'm resisting the enemy. God will bring something to you. You know, you might get healed. You might be blessed financially. All of a sudden you just go, bless God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And then the enemy comes with something else and steals that away from you. And you just go, oh. I guess that's the way it is. I'm just not as good as everybody else. God doesn't love me just the same. You ought to turn and say, shut up, devil. Freely I've been given, and so freely I'm given. And I'm resisting even the thought of going back to the oppression that I used to be in. I refuse it. I resist it in Jesus' name. And if you don't stay on top of it, the enemy will wait until you get down a little bit. And then he'll come back in with the same stupid stuff that he had you captive to before. Say, come on. You know this is familiar to you. Come on back in. This is where you're comfortable. You're comfortable being oppressed. You're comfortable being, come on, depressed. You're comfortable being in this sickness. You're comfortable being in this pain. Just, it's okay. Just, and you just go, oh, I guess he's right. Right? And if it was that simple, you'd obviously go, I don't think so, Jack. But it's not. And so we have to get into the Word and find out what God has really said. And then when the enemy comes up with an alternative plan, we say, I don't think so in Jesus' name. And our feelings may take some time to get spun around, but we've got to resist it at the point of attack rather than being in the middle of the battle and then try to attack. Does that make sense to anybody? Freely you've been given the name of Jesus. Start using it over the things that the enemy is trying to destroy you with. Why? Because when you get it free, God's going to send you somebody else that says, freely you've received, now freely give it away. Amen? Amen. Did you receive anything tonight? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. I thank you, Lord, that there's maybe even some listening that are sitting maybe at home and they just feel they've been oppressed or the enemy's trying to tell them that they're worthless. We just resist that in Jesus' name. We speak your love over them. We speak your peace over them. We speak your healing power over them, God. We just command you, Satan, to take your hands off of God's people. And in Jesus' name, we resist even the thought of oppression in Jesus' name. We will not stay under the condemnation of a sentence that even doctors have put over us. And in Jesus' name, we are of power, we have love, we have a sound mind in the name of Jesus. Greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. There is nothing impossible for those who believe. And we're just declaring right now in Jesus' name, we're believers. Amen, amen, amen. If you've never been born again, ask Jesus to come into your heart. How do you do that? You just open your mouth. You believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, that God raised Him from the dead. The Bible says you'll be saved. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Thanks for joining us. God bless you. Amen.